Excited for the upcoming school year. Always looking forward to it. I was telling someone this week that we are truly blessed with the parents and the student body that God has blessed us with. I just praise the Lord. The young people, I told this person I was speaking to, the young people love the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that their priorities are right. I'm thankful that didn't have disciplinary problems, and I'm thankful that parents are on the same page and they want God's will for their life, and that is what our prayer has been for, and that's what I rejoice and give God the glory that He's blessed us with. I appreciate the church supporting the ministry, and because it's an important ministry, and look at that and why it's an important ministry tonight in Titus chapter 3. And in verse number 14, some may ask, why do we have a school, right? Why do we have it? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I sure wouldn't want this world being our educator of our children. And I surely don't think a lot of these so-called educators in public schools are the ones that need to be training our children. And I give you my guideline for that. It's a Psalm chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we have a biblical premise. Not only that, but we have the biblical premise that the scriptures are clear that it is the parent's obligation to train up a child in the way they should go. Also in the scripture, the church being the pillar and the ground of truth and has repeated commands to teach, to observe all things, and to train and to educate in the things of God. And in this verse in Titus chapter 3, I want you to look at it with me real quick, in verse number 14. Titus 3:14 says this, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Let's pray. We're going to look at this verse tonight. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I know we're not going to be here long, but I know, God, that you laid this on my heart to share. I pray you give clarity of thought. I pray that my mind would be focused on your Spirit and His leading tonight. I pray that, Lord, you just speak to our hearts and that, God, your name would be lifted up and your Son. And, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would be open to the Spirit of God as He will be speaking. And, Lord, just help us. I know we came to see classes and meet teachers and things, but, Father, I pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts tonight. And, Lord, each one of us, Lord, as parents, we would see our, Lord, obligation biblically and seeing our children be trained and educated in a biblical manner. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd help, Lord, members of our church, even without children in the school, to continue to see, Lord, the need of the ministry. And Father, I just pray that you just work now and just have your will and your way in the preaching time. In your name I pray, amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, you'll notice, and these are kind of Paul's closing words to Titus. And again, in verse number 14, it says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. I want to look at this verse and kind of break it up real quick. I was been reading in my personal devotions the last few weeks through Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles, a lot of people call them. And the Lord's really been, I've got quite a few messages just from reading in the mornings and studying and meditating on these verses. And I've been on this chapter this week, and this verse is laid on my heart. And I want you to see a couple things. Number one, I want you to see the required learning. It says there in verse number 14, required learning. It says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. A couple things in our required learning. You see, first of all, the designation. It says here in this verse, let ours. Let ours. You see that? Let ours. What does let ours mean? That means there's something that we need to do with those who God has entrusted us with. Let ours. So we have an obligation for those who God has entrusted us with. I know we could look at this as Titus as a pastor, and for the people that God had blessed him with, it was an obligation of his to make sure that they learn these things. As parents, you don't have to go far in the Bible. There in the first five books, you see the repeated command for fathers and mothers to teach them diligently to their children the Word of God. We have this. Those who God has entrusted us with, we have an obligation, I even go higher, a mandate from God that they learn to maintain good works. This is not, the school is not a ministry of convenience. It isn't one of the easy things you do in life. It's not a ministry that didn't cost anything. As parents, a lot is invested in this, and I understand that. It is a ministry. It is a ministry designed to help meet our God-given mandate to teach our own. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says to teach our children diligently the Word of God. We are instructed to do this. And the church can be a great tool to the parent in helping them in meeting this obligation as the pillar and ground of truth, as a tool, if you will, that you can trust. You should be able to trust one of God's churches in this. And so we have a responsibility to our own. Those children that are in this auditorium tonight that bear your last name, they are yours, given to you by God. And you have an obligation. The school is not a babysitter. The school is not a reform school. You know, those are things I don't want Cazado Baptist Academy to ever be. I want our ministry to be an instrument to help the parents in meeting their God-given mandate to reach our own in training them to learn what the Bible says they need to learn. You see, secondly, not just the designation, but you see the description. What are they to learn? It says, let ours also learn to maintain good works. Why do we have this school? Because we have an obligation to our own. What is our obligation? That they would learn to maintain these good works. Now, what are these good works talked about here in Titus? Well, you don't have to go back very far. Look back in Titus chapter number 3. I shared this with our teachers this week in our first meeting with our teachers. It says here in Titus chapter 3 in verse number 1. It says, put them in mind. Now, you'll notice, again, it's the same in context. He's telling Titus, we need to teach these people, all right? And we have an obligation, we know as parents, for our children. And we need, it says, put them in mind. Now, that little phrase simply means this. You have to do this so they'll remember it. Put them in mind. In other words, these things that are about to be listed will not come naturally to you and me and our children. The things that are about to be listed are things that must be taught. We have to put them in mind. Everybody with me tonight? All right, I know. All right. Amen. Everybody with me? Very excited, all right? Put them in mind. These things have to be, they have to be instilled in the mind. Now, what are they? What are these good things that need to be instilled in the mind? First of all, you'll see this. They need to be taught to honor authority. It says there, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. There is a great need in this country to teach young people to honor and respect authority. That is missing today in this generation that's being raised. Now, I'm thankful for our parents, and I'm thankful for our young people, and that they are not like a lost world. You take step foot and see how the typical young person treats authorities in their life. They roll their eyes. And it's not just out in the world. It's in a lot of Christian schools, too. They roll their eyes. They mock the teacher. They don't want to listen. They'll talk back. They don't care what authority has to say. They treat their parents like garbage, and that cannot and should not happen in the young people that God has given to us. They must be taught to respect authority. They have to be, it has to be put in their mind to do that, because naturally they won't want to do that. Because our kids are just like us, we are rebellious. That's what we are. Every one of us. You are rebellious. I am rebellious. Our children are rebellious. It had to be taught to us, and it must be taught to our children to honor authority. That's why I also pushed with the teachers that when they speak to an adult, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. That they stand. It's a given rule at our school. When an adult enters the room, the young people stand just to show reverence. You say, why would you do all those things? You say, do you do it with the older kids? I do it all the way down to kindergarten. They're taught to stand when an adult enters the room. Doesn't matter whether a teacher or not, any adult. You show them reverence. You say, why? Because I love them. Turn on the news. I know we hear all about the shootings and problems and people running and whether there is some corrupt policemen or not. I can tell you the majority are not corrupt, but I'll tell you this, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have today if people were taught to respect authority. Respect authority. By the way, it's something that is important for the benefit and the success of their life. Remember when only time when Jesus said that he'd never seen such a great faith in the Bible? The only time the Lord ever commented on someone else's faith was when that centurion walked up to him the person healed, his servant. And he said this to the Lord. He said, I too am a man set under authority. Now, and the Lord said he had not seen so great a faith in all of Israel as this man who said that phrase. And what that man was saying is this, I know, Jesus, that you can heal this person because you have been given the authority by someone higher. And I believe that. And he said this, him being a leader, a centurion, I too am set under authority. He understood that when you accept your position under authority, there is power there. We met with the people out in Colorado. I just went out to this weekend and spent some time with the Roberts. And if you haven't been around and you haven't heard the news, let me take a time out here. The Lord has been just blessing in abundant ways. The Lord has given to the ministry out there a church building and a parsonage, handed to them debt-free. It was signed to them this past weekend. Isn't that amazing? Given to them. And then this past Sunday, they had in attendance, all right, 28 people. And you say, well, that's now me and Alex were there, so 26. But that was a record of all time for having just the people from Gunnison there. 26 people came in. I sit there and I was standing there, and cars kept pulling in. You ought to see Brother Roberts. You think he's loud sometimes? You should have been there, Nasha, right? He kept looking at him and saying, there's another one. He looked out again. There's another one. And and all these people started coming in. The Sims family, who many of you know, his mom came to service for the first time this past Sunday. There is a family that was there with the church that handed things over. They were there. And two others that many years ago attended that service came. For those who went on our missions trip, Dennis and Ellie and Tabitha are still faithful and going. And then they had six children from the community come. They had another adult man that lives two doors down that just decided he'd walk down and come to services. And by the way, he came back for the afternoon service. And afterwards, he walked up to me and said, I really don't know I'm saved. Could you tell me more about this? And by about 30 minutes later, he bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. And pray for him. His name is Clint Cordova. But he got saved Sunday night, and about 40-year-old. And praise the Lord. Brother Roberts, he literally did a somersault, all right? You ought to seen it, all right? But he literally, all right? He's excited. God is blessing, and it's an exciting to see this. And we were speaking out there, and I was talking, and we met with a man on Monday morning, and he was struggling and wasn't sure he wanted to join the church. And one of the big issues in his life is this: he doesn't want authority in his life. He doesn't want authority. He don't want a church authority. He don't want, any type of authority. Now listen, we all need authority in our life. And number one, God should be all of our authority. Because listen, this is simple and all, but I'll go on. Ready? If you don't teach your children to honor these authorities that we see in life, they will never learn to honor the authority that they don't see with their eyeballs. We must teach them to honor. We must teach them to honor authority. Second good work is this, to obey authority. It says to obey magistrates. I got to pick it up and go. But not just honor, but to obey. We should have a desire to teach our young people to not just honor, but to obey. It's clear in the scriptures that children are to honor their father and their mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, they are to obey their father and their mother. And the two, you don't have complete obedience till you have both of them in action. There must be an honor and an obedience. Then we should want another good work for our children. Verse number 3, to be ready to every good work, to live right. You know, one of the reasons why you have your young people in a Christian school is because you don't want them to learn some of the practices, the words, the phrases, the philosophies that the world has. Because there's a lot of filth that's out there. There's a lot of filth in the mouths and the language. We want our young people to learn to live right, to live a godly life. We want another thing, number four, another good work, to talk right, to speak right. It says there were, now these are things you have to put in people's mind because they don't come naturally. To speak evil of no man. As you know, naturally, we like to degrade other people. We like to over-criticize other people. We like to tear down other people. And you say, well, I don't like to. Well, you're lying. Yes, you do. We all enjoy. That's just what we naturally do. The natural man does that. You know why? Because the natural man wants to put someone down so that they can be lifted up. That's the natural man. But we have to put them in mind to speak evil of no man. One thing that I talked to the teachers this week, we're going to emphasize is this. I want our young people to learn to be kind in their words. Be kind in your words. It's important to speak evil of no man. And it says there, next thing, to love right. It says to be no brawlers. We shouldn't want to be going around looking for a fight. We shouldn't be going around seeing who the next person we can offend, right? By the way, you're doing no benefit for the cause of Christ by trying to offend people. Now, you're going to offend people just by holding to the Word of God. There's a difference between that and going around trying to pick a fight with people. Trying to get someone agitated. And that's something that has to be taught. And I think every parent in here who has multiple children know that it has to be taught to your children not to be picking fights with each other. Right? Next thing, we'll do one more. To control themselves. Gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Meekness just means strength, but under control. Two, we want our young people to be strong. Not just physically, I want them to be strong spiritually. But I want them to not be a bully in that. I want them to control that strength. I want them to respect. I want them to be, as it says there, gentle. Gentle. Did you know, and I'm not going to spend long on this, but these peers of these students and adults, those who we rub shoulders with every week, we don't know what they're going through. And one wrong word, one wrong spirit, can destroy someone. We have to learn to be gentle and meekness. So you see, first of all, the required learning. Go back to verse number 14, we'll wrap this up. The required learning. You see, we have to do it to our own, and then we see what those good works are. Then you see, secondly, the responsible life. It says, for necessary uses. And let ours also learn to maintain good works. Now why? For necessary uses. I'll be real quick with this. You know why it's important that we get a quality education for our children? Ready? For necessary uses. So what is necessary uses? Simply this, ready? God has a plan for every one of these children sitting in this auditorium. God has a plan for every one of their lives. Our job as parents and then us as a school to be used of you, you know why? To help in preparing them for whatever God's plan is for their life. Every student, God has a will for their life. And we as parents and authorities should be seeking to equip them to succeed in accomplishing God's will. Now, I don't care what avenue. God may want them to be an accountant. God may want them to be a bookkeeper. God may want them to work in a library, landscape, drive giant trucks, or work on computers, or be a pastor, a missionary, a teacher. May want them to be a scientist. I don't know what God wants them to do, but I will say this. We should seek to equip them to be whatever God wants them to be. With the necessary uses, whatever God is going to need of them. So that means they need to be able to read. Amen. They need to be able to have some math skills. Amen. Some of you are just like, no math, right? Math. They need to be able to write. They need to be able to think. I don't care what God's plan is for their life, they need those things. They need those things. My dad always said this growing up. You know, God can use a sharp axe a lot easier than he can use a dull axe. And we ought to equip them to do whatever God's will is for their life. I tell you what, ready? I hate to bust anybody's bubble, ready? No one in our school is going to be a professional athlete. I know some of you are just like, oh, no, way, right? Yeah. It's not, you're not. Can't wait to coach the boys this year, but none of them are going pro, all right? It's not going to happen. And you know what? I wouldn't want them to. How could they possibly be faithful to God's house? I know. You say, Tim Tebow prays. Well, that's great. He has a good message. I'm thankful he shares the gospel. But he sure ain't faithful to his church. Yeah. Ooh, awful quiet, right? He can't be. I know a guy right now. He went to Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. He went to that church. He got into baseball. And he is right now the starting second baseman for the San Francisco Giants. His name is Tomlinson. Look him up. And he's playing for them. And I talked to their pastor, Brother Hammond. Not worth it. So he's making so much money. He's never home, never involved in church. And when he stands before God, God could care less about a batting average. Amen. I want our kids to enjoy. Sports are good. You can learn a lot of good principles from them. I want them to succeed. I want them to learn to do their best. But we don't have 7 practices a week, 4 hours a day, because there are other things they need to be prepared for in life. We'll practice. I'm just sharing you the philosophy. You don't like it. Well, that's what we are, okay? But we don't have, you know, practice every night, and I'll tell you why. You say, well, our girls can't, you know, they're not spiking every return. Yeah, but I'd rather be at home watching mom learn how to be a godly mom. Most of the kids that we play in a lot of schools, they don't even like their mom. They roll their eyes. They have no relationship with them. We are to prepare them, before you get mad at me, with the Bible, for necessary uses. Follow me? Everybody catching what we're trying to say here? There are some things they need to accomplish God's will. The things they don't need to accomplish God's will, well, we don't need to focus on those things. Amen. I'm about to sit down in the front pew even with my back hurting saying, that's really good preaching. Amen, all right? That's what it says. Necessary uses. We have to let ours learn good works for necessary uses. You can't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Next thing, we'll be done. The reward at the end of that they be not unfruitful. You know what happens if we don't take our mandate seriously, mom and dad? Teachers. You know what happens if we focus on all the things that don't help them accomplish God's will in their life? We might someday produce a child that could stand before God and maybe hit every free throw. They may be able to talk about all the money they made, and we don't have dating in our school. They don't have, may not be able to talk about all the boys and girls that they dated in high school. You know what? All that is unfruitful. God is not impressed and doesn't care about those things. Amen. There's nothing wrong with playing volleyball. There's nothing wrong with playing basketball when given the proper priority in life. But what we need to focus on, and by God's grace, what Cazadell Baptist Academy will continue to focus on, is those things that will help to prepare a generation to be useful for the will of God that he has for every one of them, that someday they will stand before their God and hear our Heavenly Father say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is our goal. And if we share in that goal, we'll have a great year this year.